ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So we will go to this verse today. Yes. In between, I'll just read the translations. There are two more verses in between. Text number 34.
Dronam cha bhishmam cha jayadratam cha karanam tathanyanapi yodha viran mayahatam stvam jahima vyatishtha yudhyasvajeta tirane sapatnan.
Translation: Drona, Bhishma, Jayadrath, Karna and the other great warriors have already been destroyed by me. Therefore, kill them and do not be disturbed. Simply fight and you will vanquish your enemies in battle.
Sanjaya uvacha etat shrutva vachanam keshavasya kritanjalir vepa mana kiriti namaskritva bhujaye vaha krishnam sagadgadam bhita bhita pranamya.
Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra, O king, after hearing these words from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the trembling Arjuna offered obeisances with folded hands again and again. He fearfully spoke to Lord Krishna in a faltering voice as follows.
Arjuna uvacha,
Arjuna uvacha,
sthane hrishikesha tava prakirtya, jagat prahrishyatyanurajyate cha, rakshamsi bhitani disho dravanti, sarve namasyanti cha siddha sangha.
Arjuna said, O master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. So there is a brief, very interesting purport. Arjuna, after hearing from Krishna about the outcome of the battle of Kurukshetra, became enlightened. And as a great devotee and friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said that everything done by Krishna is quite fit. Arjuna confirmed that Krishna is the maintainer and the object of worship for the devotees and the destroyer of the undesirables. His actions are equally good for all. Arjuna understood herein that when the battle of Kurukshetra was being concluded in outer space, there were present many demigods, siddhas, and the intelligentsia of the higher planets, and they were observing the fight because Krishna was present there. When Arjuna saw the universal form of the Lord, the demigods took pleasure in it, but others who were demons and atheists could not stand it when the Lord was praised. Out of the natural fear of the devastating form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they fled. Krishna's treatment of the devotees and the atheists is praised by Arjuna. In all cases, a devotee glorifies the Lord because he knows that whatever he does is good for all. Bring prayers now from here. Especially Prabhupada, all this is rightly done. On one hand, Arjuna found that all the perfected beings are offering Krishna praises and respects and glorification. While all the demons were very afraid, they are fleeing here and there. So seeing this, Arjuna is appreciating this point, all this is rightly done. So the difference between the nature of a devotee and a demon is so wonderfully illustrated here. Although both the devotees and demons are in the ultimate sense children of Krishna, children of God, still often people complain that the Lord favors the demons, Lord favors the devotees, killing the demons. Often people who read the Puranic pastimes, they argue that why did Vishnu, taking the form of Mohini Murthy, favor the demigods? They both had worked very hard for churning the amrit. But they find Mohini Murthy favoring the demigods. That's not the only thing. Even in 7th canto beginning, there is a question asked by Yudhishthira. That in the previous canto, we see how the Lord favored Indra and the other demigods defeating the demons. In the 6th canto, end you find. Diti vows to kill Indra, but she is unable to kill. So Lord somehow helps Indra to save his life and also to protect the demigods. And we also hear how Bali Maharaj was defeated by the Lord when he came as Vamanadeva. And the Lord took the kingdom and gave it back to Indra. So one may wonder, why Lord always is favoring the demigods? Does it sound good enough? You can't hear? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So only speaker, I think. Hare Krishna. Now it's clear? It's coming now? Hare Krishna. Well, stay close to the mic, I think. Hare Krishna. And always against the demons. In fact, there is a class of people who even argue that the demigods or the devotees of God, they flatter God to gain some special mercy or gain some favor from Him. But Prabhupada uses such a wonderful sentence. He says, the devotees of the Lord are not a mercantile community. Mercantile community means if you are a merchant, then you do business with your customer and you offer him something and in return you take some payment for that, isn't it? But devotees of the Lord are not doing devotional service like that with the Lord. You can easily see a pure devotee performs devotional service without any expectation from the Lord. That is why he gets the complete mercy. He gets the Lord himself for that, because he does not seek anything material from the Lord. In fact, such people who argue that we don't want to flatter God like you are doing, you are flattering God. Those people who ignore God in their lives, they are considered to be people in abject darkness, in total darkness. It's like somebody denying the sun. Once when I was in one of the yatras, Jayavarga Swami was telling a story. He was telling how a boy is sleeping in his bed and he has covered himself with a blanket. And it's almost 8 o'clock now and the school bus has come. The school bus is waiting for him. I don't know whether these days the school buses wait. In our days school buses used to wait. Till the child somehow, you know, child is crying and weeping and some mother and father, they pick up the child and bring and put in the bus. Till then the bus would wait, you know. So the bus has come and the bus is giving horn, bomb bomb. And the father is calling the son, my dear child, open the room. Open the window, see son has risen. Get up. Your bus has come to pick you up. And the son is saying, where is the sun, father? I am not able to see. I don't see the sun. But he has covered himself with the blanket and the window is closed, door is closed, everything is pitch dark. And the father is saying, first of all, get up from the bed, open the window, otherwise how can you see the sunlight? But he is refusing to do that. So you are telling in the same way, the Lord's mercy is available for one and all. It depends on the receptacle. It depends on the receiving person. How much you want to receive that mercy. So just as the sunlight is available to everyone, sun doesn't see, here is a poor man's house, I am not going to give the light. I will withdraw my light there and let me give only shadow there. No. The sunlight or the moonlight is available for everyone. So Lord's mercy is available for every living being. Every living being is actually servant of Krishna, Jivaya Sarupohi Krishna Tira. So it depends on how we receive it from the Lord. So those who deny the Lord's existence, or those who don't surrender to the Lord, and those who always are envious of the Lord and keep arguing against the Lord, such people make themselves make the mercy of the Lord unavailable in their lives. So they are in darkness, like this boy who was in darkness, who could not see the sunlight. On the other hand, there are a category of people who go to the Lord only for gaining some material benefits. Like Krishna talks about four kinds of people. Artho, Jigyasu, Artati, Jnani and all that. When they have some trouble, they go to him. And then when the trouble is finished, then they stop going to him. Finished. So these are also called as some type of devotees, mixed devotees. So they are partial recipients of the Lord's mercy. They don't get the full mercy, they get little mercy. By going to Krishna temple, bowing down to Krishna, begging him to help them in their trouble. Many people do that in India, it's very very common. People going to Lord for help. But the top class people are those who are pure devotees, who do not demand anything from the Lord. They just go to him. Out of love they worship him. Out of love they offer him patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, yome, bhaktya prayachati, with bhakti. So they are pure devotees. And they don't expect anything from the Lord in return at all. So such pure devotion is also appreciated by Krishna. Now, why will the Lord not reciprocate with such a devotee who is offering pure love? Even in this world, if somebody wants to selflessly serve you, whoever it is, then you also want to reciprocate with that person. Is it not? It's very natural. It's very obvious. One develops emotion, feeling towards the person who is doing some selfless service, and you want to reciprocate also. In the same way, the Lord also feels that he should do something for the benefit of the devotee, although the devotee does not demand anything. Simply out of love, the Lord wants to do something. In Bhagavad Gita, you will find the reasons given why the Lord appears in this world. There is a reason given there in Bhagavad Gita. What he says? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavam yuge yuge. So these are three reasons which are prominently known to everyone. Paritranaya sadhunam. Who is a sadhu? I come to protect the sadhus, the Lord says. But who is a sadhu? Often there is a notion amongst Indians that sadhus means somebody who is very honest, somebody who is truthful, somebody who is always following the moral principles, he is a sadhu. But actually the word sadhu has nothing to give and take with just mundane moral principles. A sadhu means one who is situated on a transcendental platform, one who is beyond the ordinary morals of this world, which means a sadhu not only follows the moral principles of the world, but he is a lover of God, is a devotee of God. That is the meaning of sadhu. Otherwise people tend to think that, you know, if somebody is a good person, somebody is a nice person, they think he is a sadhu, many people. But often people who follow the mundane moral principles, they are not necessarily devotees of God. A devotee is a moralist, but a moralist is not a devotee. We often find there are many people who say, oh, we should help the poor, we should help the lame, we should you know, give some food, give some clothing. We also feel compassion. Like in Chowpatty temple, one lady used to come, one old lady. She used to come to the Gurukul and distribute some charity to the children there, giving some notebooks and chocolates and pens and books and everything. But she would never climb up to go to the temple to take darshan of the Lord. Although many devotees very much tried to pull her, tell her that you have come all the way to the temple, go and take darshan. She will say, no, 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 I am already seeing the smile of God in the poor. It's enough. So, this appears to be a very convincing philosophy, like they say, the hands that serve are better than the hands that pray. And it is very convincing to many people. Many people think that, yes, it is true, we should serve the poor. This is owing to the false pride that I can know the method of serving the living beings better than God. This actually arises from false pride. Because we think, I know that the living entities are suffering and I have a better method to serve them than the way God wants to serve them. Because people limit themselves to simply giving some food, clothing, shelter and such things to the people, and they cannot become broad-minded. They cannot see why, even after offering so much to the poor, why the poor are still suffering in this world. Why there is so much suffering in the world, even after offering so many things to so many people. So unless the demoniac mentality in people is eradicated, there is no possibility of making people happy. It's not possible. That's why we are talking about devotee and demons. It is said, Vishnu Bhakti Smrito Deva Asrasta Viparyaya. Demigods are those who serve the purpose of the Lord. And demons are those who are against the purpose of the Lord. So by harboring this demoniac mentality, people have been born in slums. People are born lame. People are born diseased. And people are put in unfortunate situations because of that. No matter how much you help such a demon with all facilities, you will only end up nourishing the demoniac mentality more than by actually giving them some help. This may appear to be very cruel. Do you mean to say that we should not help the poor, help the suffering souls of this world? But even before you do any good to the people, you should know what is good. Otherwise you cannot do good. If any of you have a boil in hand, I immediately come with a knife running to you to do surgery. How many of you will give your hand to me? You will see, he's a sadhu, you know, what does he know about surgery? You know, he will kill me by doing this so-called surgical operation. So even if I have a good intention towards you, if I am not a surgeon, I should not operate you, right? In the same way, although many people have so-called good intention in their heart to help the living beings, they actually do not know what will do the real good to the people. They do not know. The best good that we can do for the living beings is to help them give up the demoniac mentality. That is why there are so many moralists in the world, all over the world. But when you talk of God, they are envious of God. They have an envious mentality. They cannot tolerate God. But they like to be so-called moralists. What good is that morality? Like I was giving a class, one boy asked a question. Sir, why to bother about God, who is a far-fetched person? You know, it is so difficult to understand him, understand the science of God and all that. Why not just serve all the people of the world? And you can see the people suffering in the world, why not serve them? So I said, yes, you can serve them, but you can't serve them without becoming a thief. First you become a thief and then you serve them. I told him. So he became a little upset. Why do you call me as a thief when I am serving the other people? I am just taking all my things and giving to others. Why do you call me a thief? I said, without becoming a thief, you can't serve the people. I said, if you want to ignore God in life. So, you have acquired everything from God and you want to ignore Him and take the property of God to serve people. So first you have to become a thief because you are ignoring God. The moment you ignore God, you become a thief. So you are taking, it's like somebody breaking open your door and looting all the things out of your house and giving it to the people, the Naxalites. You know that, isn't it? So you can just be a Naxalite, that's all. If you ignore God, then you are a Naxalite. You are just taking God's property and you are distributing to the people. And in order to do that, you may do anything. One may loot and one may do things like that. Actually, one is looting God's property. That is why first step is to acknowledge that everything belongs to Krishna. Otherwise, there is no service that you can render in this world. Your service is simply an extension of your false ego, pampering your own false ego. That's why Prabhupada says all the so-called isms, like altruism, philanthropism, nationalism, communism, capitalism, all the isms. All these isms are simply extension of our false ego. They call us extended sense gratification. That's all. We can't do any good to anybody. That is why a devotee of God is convinced of the fact that unless a person becomes a devotee of God, he cannot be happy. Prahlad Maharaj says that. In one of his verses he says, Nanyam Tvadasya Sharanam Brahmatohanu Pashye. He says that. Unless one becomes a devotee, my dear Lord, one cannot become peaceful and happy in this world. As long as one is maintaining the demoniac mentality, that mentality will drive him to become lusty, to become greedy, to become angry, no matter you provide him food, clothing, shelter, everything. And he will certainly cause a big damage in the world. So it's not that the dearth of resources is making people suffer. Hitler had the best resources. Stalin had the best resources. But you can see how they misuse their resources. You can see that. So what demonic mentality can do in this world, we can see that. Even the best of the people with knowledge, the scientists are creating bombs to destroy millions. But they can't save life. They can only destroy life. But when one becomes a genuine devotee of God, then he can not only save life in this birth, he can actually connect a soul back to God. He can do that. That is why Lord says, Paritranaya Sadhunam. I come to protect the sadhus. And the sadhus are always tortured by the asadhus in this material world. Those are non-devotees, they always torture the devotees. Like Haridas Thakur was tortured by the Muslim king. Similarly, Prahlad was tortured by Hiranyakashipu. We can give innumerable examples. The sadhus always tortured by asadhu. So now Lord says, Paritranaya Sadhunam, I come to deliver my devotee. So now, why should Lord come to deliver the devotee? A devotee is already delivered, is it not? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in that verse, Mancha Yoga Vicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunansamati Taitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. He says, Sagunan Samati Taitan, he says. They have already transcended the three modes. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. They are situated on transcendental platform. So what is the Lord going to do by delivering them? Where is the question of delivering? The devotee is already delivered. So why should the Lord come to do paritran? To deliver the devotee. Actually the Lord does not come to deliver the devotee. That is a superficial reason. Nor does the Lord come to kill the demon. Because killing the demon is also very very easy for the Lord. He can kill them by a storm or by a flood or anything like that. But Lord comes for a specific reason. The Lord comes to fulfill the inner desire of the devotee. The Lord comes in this world and to fulfill the heart's desire of a devotee. And what is the heart's desire of the devotee? The devotee desires to see the Lord face to face. The devotee has an intense desire to meet Krishna face to face. Actually, one can come to the platform when one is an anyabhilashita shunyam platform. When a devotee gives up all aspirations for material things of this world and wants to only love and serve Krishna, then a devotee's eagerness is called a samutkanta. In the Nectar of Devotion, he explains samutkanta. That's a great eagerness. When will the time come when I will be able to behold the beautiful form of the Lord face to face? When will the time come when I will enter into the holy dham where the Lord performs wonderful pastimes eternally? When I will roll in the ground, when I will take the dust of the dham and put it on my head, and I will see the Lord's pastimes everywhere. There are many songs, Abhilasha songs, which devotee is writing. So that eagerness, samutkanta, will come when one is freed of the material desires. And the Lord knows, my devotees have no material desires and they want to see me. So Lord simply wants to come in front of them and perform some pastimes. So Kunti Maharani says about this very nice verse. Na veda kaschit bhagavam sikirshitam taveha manasya nrinam vidambanam na yasya kaschit dayatastikarhichit na yasya kaschit dayatastikarhichit. She ends with vishama matir nrinam. She says, Chikirshya means loving pastimes. You want to come in this world and perform loving pastimes in front of your devotees who can behold those beautiful pastimes, and then their hearts will be satisfied. And they don't expect anything else from you. They just want to see your beautiful form performing wonderful, colorful pastimes in this world. And devotees take part in that. So that is the goal of a devotee. Devotee does not aspire for anything. So Prabhupada writes in one place, the devotee's heart burns in separation, a pure devotee's heart. And he is always longing to meet the Lord. So when Prabhupada wrote the Krishna book, he said, this Krishna book is a solace for devotees who are hankering to meet Krishna. By reciting the pastimes in Krishna book and in Chaitra Charitamrita, one can experience God moving in their midst by reciting the pastimes. That's why Prabhupada called it a solace to the devotees by reading those pastimes. One can feel just like you feel your brother or sister or mother or father moving amidst you. When you read these pastimes, one can feel the presence of Krishna very strongly. The more one's heart becomes purified, Krishna's presence is very strongly felt by a devotee when one hears the pastimes of Krishna. Actually, one has to have a very simple heart for that. Only then one can hear. You know, Krishna says, Shamo damas tapashyaucham shantir arjo mevacha. So the arjam is translated as simplicity. In some places it is translated as honesty. So simplicity means, just like Prahlad, he could not believe that his father can kill him. When his father planned to kill him, when he decided to kill him, when he was about to kill him, Prahlad thought that my father is joking with me. He could not believe that his father would kill him. That is the meaning of simplicity. Also, when one comes in front of the deity, when one sees that Lord is present here, he is playing on his flute, standing in the threefold bending form, wearing his beautiful pitambar, wearing a beautiful peacock feather, how beautifully he is smiling, and Srimati Radharani is standing by his side. Such a beautiful darshan. So when a devotee feels Krishna is standing here, Radharani is standing here, he prays in that song, Aha Prabhu Nanda Sutta Vrishabhana Sutta Yuta Karuna Korohei Baru. So when a devotee prays like this, then it is said he has a simple heart. So when a devotee has a simple heart and a pure heart, when a devotee hears these pastimes of the Lord, it is as good as taking part in the pastimes, in the Lord's pastimes. It's not different from that. That is why Kunti Maharani, in her last prayer, she says, Shravana Smarana Arhani Karishyanti Kechana. What is it was? Shrinvanti Gayanti Grananti Vikshnashaha Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitam Jana Tayeva Pashyedajran Achirena Tavakam Baba Prabahu Uparamam Padambuchim. There is one more verse like that. So in the next verse she says, here also she talks about this. Shravanam, Shrinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti, Abhikshnashara. Those who continuously hear, Gayanti means sing, Grinanti means take the holy names, Abhikshnashara means continuously, 24 hours a day. Such people can actually very easily transcend this ocean of material existence and be situated in a divine plane, transcendental plane. So one can be situated like that. So Lord, of course, comes to please the devotees. But what about the demons? Is the Lord unhappy with the demons? Or Lord derives some kind of sadistic pleasure in destroying the demons? No. Nobody can be enemy of the Lord. Here Arjuna is saying the demons are fleeing. Does that mean that Lord considered himself the enemy of the demons? Never. In fact, Uddhava, while speaking to Vidura, in that very famous verse, he says, Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam. He says, this great demoness, Putana, she is made poison in her breast to come and kill Krishna. But what did Krishna do in return? So Krishna took it positively. Although she gave poison, he did not consider that the poison is bad. He saw the positive side of it. He thought that she came as a mother to feed me her milk. So let me give her the post of a nurse in the spiritual world. So this is how Krishna deals with demons. That means Lord is not actually envious of the demons, as the demons often think. The demons think the Lord is partial. The demoniac people comment that the Lord is partial to the devotees. But he finds that the Lord is not partial. Lord even gave such a position to Putana. But at the same time, it is the demons who consider themselves to be the Lord's enemies. It is the nature of the demons. You see, Lord says, Ye tavam prapadyante, tavam sadeva bhajamyaham. So Lord just reciprocates with the way that the devotees and demons behave towards Him. So as we said, the devotees are pure-hearted, they don't even aspire for any material benefits from the Lord. So Lord just reciprocates love. So because the devotee asks only for love, the Lord gives love to them. So you want love, you accept love. I am giving you love. Because you are giving me love, I will also give you love. And the demons want to fight with the Lord. They want to kill the Lord. They want to destroy Him. Some or other. He comes and try to kill Krishna. Like Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Vishnu. In fact, he told the demons that all my demoniac associates come. You go to the material world. He said you go to the earth and you destroy all the gopurams. You destroy all the holy places. He said you destroy the orchards which give where there are nice pious trees like mango trees, jackfruit trees which are giving valuable fruits. You destroy all of them. And you destroy the bridge which helps people to cross over. Don't keep the bridges. And you go to the hermitages and set fire to the hermitages where the sages live. And don't allow the gardens where people are getting valuable things. Cut down the trees. Break the gopurams, he said. So we can easily see the demons derive a great pleasure in destroying the Brahminical culture. That is the nature of demons. And he said, what am I going to do? I am going to perform a very, very severe penance. And by that penance, I will acquire powers to sever the head of Vishnu from his body. When I do that, all the demigods will die. Because all the demigods are exactly like a tree that is deriving nourishment from the root. When the root is cut off, then how can the tree survive? The whole tree with all its flowers and fruits and the branches, it will totally dry up when it is removed from the root. So like that, when I kill Vishnu, then all the demigods will be dried up. They will all be destroyed. So I will kill Vishnu, he said. And you can see Ravana in the same way. Wanted to kill Ram. How many wages, how many years of, how long such a fight? It went on and on. Although he got advice from Vibhishan, he got advice from Mandodari, he got advice from so many good souls. He didn't want to hear that advice. This is the meaning of a demon. A demon is a determined thief. He is determined to act against the purpose of the Lord. And you will find all over the world these two categories of people always present. They are against the purpose of Vishnu. So because they are against the purpose of Vishnu, and because they want to fight with Vishnu, so Lord also says, okay, I will fight with you. Because you like fighting with me, I will also fight. And the Lord knows that unless the demons are given a good lesson, they are not going to reform. So, just as a mother would slap a child who is not doing the homework, so Lord also gives a demon a good dose by which the demons will learn the good lesson. So one category of demons are those who learn it a hard way and they are killed by the Lord and they are liberated by the Lord. That's one big advantage of one who is killed by the Lord. You see, when the Lord's Bana, like Rama Bana, touches the demon's chest, immediately it sucks away all the sinful reactions from the body of the demon. And the demon, having become purified, then he goes back to the spiritual world. Killed by the Lord. Because the Lord, anything that is touched by the Lord is transcendental, isn't it? So even the arrow that is touched by the Lord, arrow that is used by the Lord is actually pure. What to speak of somebody killed by a Lord's weapon, even somebody who has glanced at the Lord in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they all got liberated and they achieved something in the region of transcendence, some position they achieved. According to Bhagavatam, it says that they achieved the Swarupa. They all got the Swarupa back, it is said. So such is the purity of the Lord. Lord can actually purify the demons. He has the ability. He can do that. But there are demons in front of whom, even of the, when the Lord appears, still they continue to maintain the demoniac mentality. They just don't want to reform. They just don't want to change. and they continue to be demons. That's why Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Tanaham Dushatak Kruran Samsareshu Naradhaman Kshipami Adasram Vashuvan Asurishu Yeva Yonishu Asurim Yonim Apanna Mudha Janmani Janmani Mama Prapya Vakaunteya Tato Yanti Adhamam Gatim. These two verses, very frightening verses, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita. He says, such demons, who always flourish in Ashuchi Vratau, which means unclean vows, even after the Lord comes to this world, even after the Lord has left behind the scriptures and the devotees to teach the scriptures, there are a category of people who are so demoniac in nature that they will never pay any heed to good advice given to the scriptures or the devotees. They will continue to maintain their demoniac mentality. On the contrary, they will not only remain demons, they will harm the devotees. They will become a source of trouble for the devotees. Such demons, Krishna says, what he says, what he does to them? Tanaham Dushita Kruran means cruel souls. Samsareshu Naradhaman. Such Naradhama, most fallen amongst humankind. I cast them in lower species. They become a dog. They become a cat. They become a mouse. They become a cockroach. They become a worm. They become an amoeba. They go down and down and down like that. And they suffer for millions and millions of years like that. In this cycle of birth and death. And then afterwards, after millions and millions of years, they have to come back again to human form of life. It may take many, many millions of years. So such demons, they have invited trouble in their lives by their own deeds, by their own mischievous, nefarious activities. So the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita gives a very vivid description of such demons, how they live. So the Daivi Sampad and Asri Sampad, divine assets and demoniac assets. So we have to see what we possess in our lives. So if you don't have divine assets, then you have to accumulate them. And if you have some demoniac assets, you have to give them up and acquire the divine assets, like that. And all over the world, these two categories of people are always there. There are divine and there are demoniac. The nature of divine people is to be submissive to the saintly people, to hear the word of God, to have faith in God, to follow the scriptures, to think of the long-term benefit, shreyas, not prayas, to always avoid being a nuisance to others, which means trying to do good to others, other living beings, to be very tolerant. All these are qualities of saintly people, of the divine. Like it is abhayam sattva samshuddha jnana yoga vavasthiti dhanam damascha yajnascha svadhyayastha parjava. So he gives a list of many, many items there. Divine people. On the other hand, the demoniac people, they are always ignorant. And though ignorant, they are very proud. They consider themselves to be very great. And because of their mischievous activities, when they cannot achieve their ends, they always blame other people around them. That only because of this person I am suffering. They put the blame on others. And they consider the enjoyments, lusty enjoyments of this world to be the ultimate goal of life. Filling up their belly and enjoying the senses is considered the highest goal of their life. And there is nothing beyond them. And they always cause nuisance to people around them. They cause harm verbally, physically to all the people around them. And as far as God is concerned, they never follow the laws of God. They break all the regulative principles. And because of trying to break the principles, they break themselves against those principles. Actually, nobody can break the principles. We can only break ourselves against it. Because when one tries to break the regulative principle, then one damages oneself. So they say, the demons, not only they ignore God, they try to put a stumbling block in the purpose of God. You see, the whole material creation is created for a definite purpose. What is the purpose? It's an arrangement to reform the souls. We can call it like a jail. Like a jail is meant for reforming the thieves and rogues and pickpockets and everyone. All the people who have done all mischievous activities. So in the same way, the material world is created in order to reform all of us. That is the purpose. So the souls have to go higher and higher, from a lower standard to higher and higher standard, become totally purified and go back to Him. But the demons put a stumbling block in the Lord's purpose. What they do? Instead of helping the people to become purified and go higher and higher in purity and then ultimately achieve God, they try to stop the activities of devotees by putting some stumbling block, and also try to propagate Maya more and more in this world, by which all the souls, instead of going up, they will be gliding down, like that. So this is the activity of demoniac people. That is why here in this Vishwarupa Darshan form, Arjuna is watching here. He is saying, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. Arjuna is appreciating that the demons are fleeing here and there. So it's actually glorifying Krishna. Very good. Because when I appreciate you, my dear Lord, the demons are becoming envious of you. And the demons are always against your purpose. Due to which, when you show this ferocious form of Shirpa Darshan, and the demons are all afraid that you are going to devour them, and they are fleeing here and there. And it's all rightly, Harikshna. It's all rightly done, he says. We can see, when devotees try to propagate Krishna consciousness, you will always find demonic elements coming in your way. One time in the train, when we were going from Pune to Bombay, whenever we do kirtan in the train, we try to do it softly, so that, you know, people don't become envious and certain stuff. So one time we were doing this kirtan, it was evening time, and there was a lot of noise from the station, from the train and everything. So we were doing a soft kirtan, and there was one lady sitting some 7-8 seats ahead, and from there she stood up and shouted loudly, "Stop it!" She was shouting at a full voice, and devotees became stunned totally. There was pin drop silence. So one devotee was telling, "Hey, she is so far away, what is the problem? You know, she may not be even able to hear properly, she must have heard slightly. And there are people in between her who never made any complaint." So again we start, and devotee started again. And I told them, keep it very soft. And this time we were even more softer. And she came walking very majestically in front of us. She stood in front of us. "Are you going to stop or not?" she was shouting. Then I told the devotees, "Okay, you know, don't play kartal, you know. Don't play." Then I asked her, "What's the problem? See, we are playing so soft, you know." She said, no, "This I just cannot tolerate. You people are coming in the streets, you are coming colony to colony in Bombay. I am seeing this is nonsense, such a big nuisance. Why you people don't do some work?" She was shouting and everything, and then she went back to her seat. And within 5 minutes, a group of college students entered from Lonavala, all wearing jeans, and you know, they were having, you know, guitar and everything, all their instruments, everything. And they started Western music, with all kinds of different instruments. Boys and girls both were there. And some of the boys were also dancing in, you know, just like this break dance they were doing, with their hands and legs in the train. In front of her only. And they're playing. And she was smiling. Yeah. And she was relishing that, she was enjoying that. You can see that this is demoniac mentality. You can clearly see that. That is why Prabhupada says we have to inject the message of Srimad Bhagavatam into the ears of the demoniac souls. Prabhupada writes in one place. So I was wondering, first time when I heard, what is this word inject? Why you should inject? Because the word inject is appropriate word, because whenever you give an injection to a child, what does he do? He cries, he rushes, he tries to escape. So we have to inject the message of Srimad Bhagavatam into the ears of all the conditioned souls who are demoniac in nature. And we have to inject the holy name. That is why earlier we used to play only Mridangam Kartal, and all the people would be sleeping in the shops or their colonies inside. And you go for Harinam. Now you play this Jambe, everyone comes running outside. What is this? What is this big sound? Doom, 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 big sound. They all come and say, and then they get to hear the holy name. Yeah. The holy name is injected into their ears, whether they like it or not. And then they become purified. One time, Prabhupada was away from Mayapur, and an urgent call, emergency call came from Gopalakrishna Maharaj. Tamalakrishna Maharaj received the phone. Prabhupada came to know that in Mayapur, there was some danger. There was some some hoodlums, some gundas, they came, some 50 of them came in the beginning, and later on some 300 of them came. A lot of people came and they were attacking the Mayapur project. And Bhavanand Prabhu, you know, he had a shotgun and he shot two of them and they got injured. So Prabhupada got the news. And then Bhavanand Prabhu was arrested and he was taken to the prison. So Prabhupada was upset. If the hoodlums are coming and attacking our property, then what is wrong in shooting? Why should they be arrested? Why were our devotees arrested? Then the subsequent days there was a news in the Hindustan Times. And the news said that some cows were grazing in the property of ISKCON in Mayapur. And the devotees became angry with the cows and they started beating the cows. And seeing this, the villagers in Bengal in the neighborhood, they came to complain to the authorities, you know, why you people are beating our cows. And in response to that, the authorities shot them with a gun. So this was the news put up in Hindustan Times. So then 4 or 5 days later, Prabhupada got the exact news, what happened. In fact, when the news came, Samaksha Maharaj was talking, will devotees ever beat the cows? In fact, cows are very dear to devotees, because cows are very dear to Krishna. So then the actual news came. You know what exactly happened? One of the days, 50 people, 50 Muslims from Bengal, they came into the property of ISKCON and they started stealing the grains from the field. Seeing this, there was Nitya Chand Prabhu who was working there in the field, and he stopped them. He said, you just cannot do like this. And there were 50 of them and he was only one. And when he tried to stop them, they all started hitting him on the head and they broke his head in 3 places. It was profusely bleeding and he had fallen. And seeing this, some devotees came running and they picked him up. They immediately took him to the place where he could be applied some medicine and all. But in the meantime, 250 more Muslims came. 300 people came and they entered the property and started attacking the devotees. They even were attacking Nitya Chand Prabhu again. Although he was being treated by devotees, they were not allowing them to treat him and they were beating him more. And devotees immediately called for the police. In the meantime, some of these Muslims, they saw the American women there. And one of the women was stripped off her clothes. They were doing that. They were doing atrocities. And the police didn't arrive for 2 hours there because they had to come from Krishnanagar station. In the meantime, some of these Muslims, they attacked one of the Gurukul men and they broke his 2 hands also. So these things were happening, damage was happening, and devotees started hitting the Muslims as much as they could, and Bhavanand Prabhu had a gun. So that is the time he took, in order to clear the mob, he shot in the sky several times, and still the mob was not clearing. Then he shot at the mob. Then they all started fleeing for their lives, they started running away. Then the police arrived there. And the police said, you immediately give a complaint to the police, but you have to go 2 hours to Krishnanagar. Then all the devotees, those who were injured and those who were not injured, they all went in a group to the police station. And as soon as they went to police station, all of them were immediately arrested there. The purpose of the police telling them to come to police station was to arrest them. They were all arrested. And 2 of them were injured and the police didn't even allow them to take proper treatment. They were denied treatment, although they were injured. So these are the atrocities that went on in Mayapur. So, and Prabhupada got the whole news, what exactly happened. And Prabhupada said, this is actually a conspiracy against our Hare Krishna movement. They just want to drive out Hare Krishnas from Bengal. They just don't want Krishna consciousness to spread. So seeing this, Samaksha Maharaj said, it seems, Prabhupada, we are going to have a tough time because we had a bad news in the paper. Prabhupada said, no. Just wait and see what will happen. Instead of Hare Krishna being driven out of Bengal, we are going to occupy more place in future. He said, this is going to be only favorable. This fight is exactly like Kamsa against Krishna. Krishna always wins. There is no history of Kamsa winning any time. Kamsa sent so many demons to kill Krishna. And all of them were killed. At last, Kamsa himself was killed. In the same way, these atrocious people are trying to stop us from preaching. But we will follow Lord Chaitanya's order. Prithivite ache dinagaradigram sarvata prachar hobamaranam. We will continue preaching. We will never stop our preaching. Then Prabhupada said, you see, Lord Chaitanya, even in his times, faced so much opposition. Some people call those who are preached by Chaitanya as ineffeminate. Which means they say Pratapadeva was a very great king. He was a passionate king. You know, he would have taken over whole of Orissa and whole of India if he wanted. He was a powerful king. But after he met Lord Chaitanya, he became ineffeminate. He became a weakling. He started becoming too humble. And then Tamakshi Maharaj asked him, Prabhupada, what is our answer to this? And Prabhupada asked him, what do you think? And he said, Prabhupada, we appreciate. And Prabhupada said, you appreciate, but the demons won't appreciate. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim. He said, we don't want to enjoy beautiful women, we don't want to enjoy wealth, we don't want to enjoy unlimited followers who will be flattering us, who will be pampering our senses. We don't want that. We say like that. But the demons exactly want these things. We say we don't want, but this is what they want. You see, Haridas Thakur, Prabhupada said, Haridas Thakur is sitting in the dead of the night. A beautiful prostitute is coming and offering her body to him for enjoying. And he is saying, no. Nadanam, najanam, nasundare. He says, I don't want. So demons don't want to hear such pastimes. Demons want to hear pastimes where they can enjoy women. They can enjoy wealth. They can enjoy wine. They can enjoy intoxication. That's what they want. So, we can clearly see Prabhupada said the difference between demons and devotees. We are diametrically opposite. There is a categorical clear-cut difference between a demon and a devotee. A devotee, actually in the beginning a devotee has to be told, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. But as a devotee does these things, person comes to a plane where one will never want to turn to those things at all, even if given an opportunity. But a demon is one who wants to flourish in all these things. Prabhupada thought of the Mayapur devotees and he said, oh Mayapur devotees, those of you who sacrifice yourself in this kind of fight. He said, don't worry, Krishna will always protect you. Prabhupada spoke as if they were just standing in front of him. Although Prabhupada was far, far away abroad. He said, Krishna will surely protect you. Just as Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad, but he could not kill. Ultimately, he himself was destroyed. Those who try to destroy our movement, those who try to put off our movement, they will be destroyed. They themselves will be destroyed. Do not worry. So Mr. Prabhupada was moved to tears. And we see today, ISKCON has more than 1,000 acres there. You see that in Mayapur now. So devotees, very sincerely they executed Krishna consciousness there. Without any fear, without moving out of the property. You can imagine if we come to know something like that is happening, we would run away from there to save our lives. But devotees remained there. Many devotees, they said, we will just not leave this place. Remain there, and we can see today the Krishna consciousness flourishing there. Very amazing that, you know, in those days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought about a unity between Vaishnavas and the Muslims, Chandkazi, headed by Chandkazi. So even today you will find that the Neem tree and what is the other tree? Champak and the Neem tree coming from the same root. And in that area you will find even Muslims offer obeisances when devotees go on Harina. You will observe that. Even today, you will see the Muslims wearing a topi and a beard, and when they see Harinam passing by, they will offer obeisances. And they have no problem. So, on the platform of soul, there is actually no quarrel. But on the platform of body, there is certainly quarrel. Unnecessarily quarrel. So, Yudhishthira is called as Ajata Shatru. One who is having no enemies. But even Duryodhana considered himself the enemy of Yudhishthira. In the same way, devotees are certainly harmless beings. They want to serve Krishna, they want to help the souls come closer to Krishna. But there are certainly demons who work against the purpose of Vishnu, work against the purpose of the Lord. And here in the Vishwarupa Darshan, Arjuna got the darshan to see that ultimately the purity, ultimately the religion always wins. ultimately the dharma always wins. And all the demons are fleeing out of fear, seeing this Visvarupa darshan. Although in the modern times, it appears, it's taking over, everywhere. You find that the demons have the best money. And you see the kind of bungalows they are creating, see the kind of vehicles they have, see the kind of advertisements they are making. This is nothing but Hiranyakashipu civilization. Hiranyakashipu wanted to destroy Brahminical culture and establish Hiranyakashipu culture. That's what in the modern times they are doing. You find the billboards and the advertisements and the buildings and the kind of culture man and woman they have, and the way the modern world is going, it's like Hiranyakashipu culture very fastly progressing. But one of the symptoms explained in Shastra is when the culture of Hiranyakashipu is progressing, then Paritra, Lord says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata habyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujamyaham. So the more it becomes ripe, it's like a doctor allowing a boil to become more ripe. You go to Ayurvedic doctor, sometimes he gives you a medicine which aggravates your disease, and you become shocked. What is this? It was a small boil, now it has become too big. The doctor tells you that actually I am trying to make it big, because when it is too small it is difficult to cut it. When it is sufficiently big, I can easily cut it. So there is Hiranyakashipu civilization progressing. At the same time, the Hare Krishna culture also is progressing in the world. So we have to join one of these two armies. And everyone is joining in this world, one of these two. So those who join Hiranyakashipu are sure to be vanquished. And you can see, in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, you find, after Hiranyakashipu was killed, all the demons came running towards Lord Narasimhadev, exactly like a moth rushing towards fire, simply to get burnt and roasted like that. Similarly, anybody who joins the Hiranyakashipu's army is sure to be vanquished. But those who join the Hare Krishna army, as it says, what is it was? Kalau dosha nidhe rajan astiye kaan mahan guna ketanate vakrishnasya mukta sangha param brajeti. Says, by Krishna Kirtan, one can get liberated from this world and return back home, back to Godhead. Especially in this Kali Yuga, it is very much stressed. Krishna Kirtan is the only shelter in the age of Kali Yuga. There is no other shelter. Anybody who puts oneself under the umbrella of Krishna Kirtan, Krishna Bhavanamrit Sangha, such a person is the most fortunate. Because many innocent people are also being dragged by Hiranyakashipu culture. Because they just don't know what is what. That's why our preaching becomes so important. So here Arjuna is a devotee, but still he is appreciating that Krishna, what you are doing is proper. Because these demons are actually acting against their purpose. So in order to set things right in this world, you kill the demons, so that the world can go for the purpose for which it is created. As Arjuna is appreciating. Hare Krishna. Any question? One question. 16th chapter. Who? See, even after seeing Krishna, some people, they don't change, like Duryodhana, for example, like Shishupal. He is talking about Vena, he is saying. Katamopina Vena. So that means they don't strike a relation with Krishna. They may be knowing Krishna. Yeah, but all the characters in Mahabharata are liberated. But Vena, for example, he says, Katamopina Vena Syat Panchanam Prusham Prati. Regarding, with respect to Purusha, Krishna, he had no relation at all, he says. There are many, many demons who act against the purpose of the Lord, and they just go on acting like that. And even when the Lord comes, of course, Lord doesn't kill them also. Lord gives them punishment to continue for some more time to reform themselves. But they have to reform and come back again. They have to reform. Ultimately, everyone has to come to the platform of purity. Yeah, because material is not a permanent place. Yeah, the question is, I was telling that there are demons, you know. I'll read that verse and then I'll tell the question. So he says here, those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast them into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. And then he says, the Prabhupada writes there, in this verse clearly indicated that the placing of a particular individual soul in a particular body is the prerogative of the Supreme. The demoniac person may not agree to accept the supremacy of the Lord, and it is a fact that he may act according to his own whims, but his next birth will depend upon the decision of the Supreme Lord. Like he says. And then he is saying, Asurim Yoni Mapana. Here he says, attaining repeated birth amongst the species of demoniac life, O son of Kunti, such persons never approach me. Gradually they sink down. Most abominable type of season. Now I remember. Say, one Bhagavatam Parpa Prabhupada writes about this. He says, first when a demon behaves like this, Lord puts him in more and more lower species. So they suffer more and more, and by that suffering they learn a good lesson by hard way. And then they have to reform. But if they don't reform and they start becoming bigger and bigger demon, Lord thinks ultimately that now there is no point allowing him to continue like this. I have to kill him and purify him. That time he kills them. I read it in one Bhagavatam Parpa.
So you had one question, I think.
When the Lord comes to this world, his Parshadas also come, you know, his associates also come. But sometimes his Parshadas play the role of a demon, sometimes. Like sometimes a king may have official, you know, mock fighter, no? Official wrestler. He may appoint somebody as official wrestler and he may have a mock fight with them. So the wrestler knows very well, this is a king. I am fighting with him for his pleasure. And king gets a great pleasure in fighting with him. Like that the Lord brings his devotees like Jaya Vijay and all. And gives them a certain role. And they may fight with them apparently. Because Lord likes to, Lord has different type of rasas to enjoy. Apart from those devotees who come like that, if somebody is actually a demon, then when he is killed by the Lord, then he becomes purified.
Like you said, because Lord asked for them into the
lower world. He will cast them only if they are not super demons. If they are like less level demons, then Lord gives them more and more demoniac bodies where they learn a good lesson. If they don't learn a good lesson, then last thing is to kill them. Yes, with his own hand he kills them. See, it's like, sometimes, you know, your body has your leg has got some kind of boil and becomes bigger. And then you're taking some medicine. Sometimes by applying a medicine, the medicine fights against, you know, the unwanted things in the leg. And it cures it, you know, for a period of time. Or you can make the boil a little bigger and you can sever it. But then sometimes the leg becomes so totally rotten that you have to amputate it. What do you call it?
Gangrene,
they call it, yeah. That's what happens with demons. That the person becomes demoniac, more demoniac. So then nothing can be done. Then the Lord himself has to purify him. So Lord feels, I sent him to this world to purify, but that's not happening. So let me purify him myself. You know, he kills him and purifies him like that. Yeah. Then they may go to Brahman, you know. They go to the Brahma Jyoti. From there again they fall down. But next time they'll be pure enough to, you know. Every person participating in Mahabharata, Ramayana, they are all special souls brought from the spiritual world. Yeah. Like they even give the name Ekalavya Das, one devotee has a name. There is one devotee called Dhritarashtra Das. Somebody asked me, these are all bad names, you know, why? Because somebody is Dhritarashtra Das.
Yeah.
Because they all are associates of the Lord. So in that sense. Everyone, yeah. All of them. So it's like a drama, you know, when we do a drama, some good devotee acts like a bad devotee sometimes. It's a bad role like that. But actually it's very important that we first of all take a good lesson from the bad characters, not that you say after Duryodhana is a good devotee so I will treat him good, you know. Our lesson is very important to learn from it. Yeah. Can't say like that, yeah. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki Srila Prabhupada ki.